Good evening, beloved. You're listening to Fire Shut Up In My Bones. We thank you that you're tuning in. Please turn into 2 Peter chapter 1, and we will begin our reading in verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of this scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, bless this time that we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The story that Peter is preaching here, the message that Peter is preaching here is that back in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 and 30, we see Peter, James, and John witnessing Jesus transforming on the mount. You know this story. They were in the mount, and a little bit of glory showed through the skin of Jesus Christ. A little bit of his glory was revealed. It freaked them out. They started getting frantic, especially when they saw Elijah and Moses appear before them, and they started getting scared. They were like, "Holy smokes, we need to make a tabernacle here for Moses and for Elijah." And that's when they heard a voice from heaven, which is what Peter is mentioning in verse 17, God talking and saying, "This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." God had to tell him, "Hey, you're missing the picture. What really matters is Jesus Christ." But what Peter is saying here, even though there were eyewitnesses to this, and there were not preaching cunningly devised fables, they're not making that up. They did see this, that we have a more sure word of prophecy that trumps what they saw, and that's the Bible. You see, I believe that Peter saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe that Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah appear on that mount. Why is that? Because the Bible says so. And that's what Peter is talking about in this passage. Beloved, lately, I've been encountering people saying, "Oh, the Spirit knocked me out in church. The Spirit knocked me out backwards. I felt someone controlling me." Or, "I was sick and I heard a voice telling me that I need God." Or, "God showed up in a dream and spoke to me. I saw a dove from heaven and it spoke to me." Or "I heard Jesus in my back room." There's no way to tell if they're lying or telling the truth. However, beloved, the best thing to do is put more trust in the infallible Word of God. And that's what Peter is saying in this passage of scripture today. What I want to talk about is, who can you believe? Who can you believe? There's, like I said before, there's no way to tell if they're lying, telling the truth. Therefore, the best thing to do is put more trust in the infallible Word of God than hearsay. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, preached that it is better and more worthy to place our trust without put our trust in scriptures than eyewitnesses. Peter is saying we can put more trust in the scripture than eyewitnesses. Beloved, without a doubt, we can put our trust in God's word more than eyewitnesses. This is why it is so important that we have the right Bible. Do you want God's word or some of God's words? The King James Bible has been accurately translated from the inspired languages such as Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek into the English language. Today, thank God, we have the creator of the universe's words, which is the Bible. This is why God hates these other Bible perversions that take out God's word, that remove key verses from the Bible. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22, verses 18. It says there, For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You see, God takes it seriously. God doesn't want God doesn't want people to be removing verses from his Bible. So see also what we just read, Revelation 22, 18 through 19, in regards to adding or removing from God's word. How serious does God take his own words? You, let me stop here. You say it's just the paper. I've heard some stupid things this week. Some people say, the Bible is just paper. Do you worship God or do you worship the Bible? First of all, if we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know how to worship God in the first place. This is his word, and God wants us to know his word. That's why he, for this span of over 1500 years, he miraculously preserved this word so that you, my friend, can read it and know about God. Everything in this Bible teaches us about God. So how serious does God take his own words? You say it's just paper. It's just the Bible. I don't know how in the world people can say something so stupid. The answer can be found in Psalm 138, verse 2, which says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth." Now listen to this, please. "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Did you catch that? "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God places great importance to his word. Therefore, we should read it, hear it, and follow the words of our magnificent God. The application is that we as Christians should place greater importance, greater attention to what the Bible says than what a person claims to see. And that's the problem, beloved. There's all kinds of people out there that think that church is all about seeing some supernatural thing. "Oh, I heard a voice. I saw heaven. I saw Moses." But how can we trust these people? Well, you know, we have a more sure word of prophecy, as Peter was saying. And you know what it is? It is the Bible. Amen. And I've been encountering this stuff for a while now. People call me up. Oh, yeah, I went to heaven and I saw Abraham. I saw the tree of life and things like that. And then I say, oh, my wife is calling me to hang up. Okay, I don't want to hear that type of foolishness. Everything that I see in this book and reading this book, I believe it. I believe that God sent a flood. I believe that God freed Israel from Egypt. And by the way, I do see God in my life. There are things that have happened to me, and I know it was the divine hand of God. That's what the Beatitudes are about. You will see God. God lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. As a matter of fact, the reason why this sermon came about is because the Holy Spirit was warning me about people like that. And God was telling me, Darian, telling me through this passage of scripture, listen to the Bible. Don't listen to those weirdos. The application is that we as Christians should place greater importance, greater attention to what the Bible says than what a person claims to see. A, that is why a pastor wants you to bring your Bible so that you can understand what he is preaching is indeed the Word of God and not his own opinion or his own philosophy. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. 17 verse 11, it says there, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now listen to this, please. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready. Hey, I go to a good church. Pastor Creed preaches there. And man, I'm just motivated to get something. I'm receiving with readiness of mind. But Pastor Creed wants us to bring our Bible to church. Why is that? So we can do what this verse says. It says here, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, my pastor wants me to make sure that what he's preaching is from the Bible. Tom Fenwick, you hear him on this podcast all the time. He's another godly young man who believes that we should bring our Bibles to church to follow along what God gave him. It's so important. Another application for us is that the Bible is inspired, which is why we can trust it. The Bible is inspired. The word inspiration let's go back to Peter real quick, because we're going to be doing a lot of flipping around. Second Peter. Okay, now let me teach you what inspiration is. Inspiration, the word inspiration in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 through 17. Let me read that real quick. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The Bible teaches, for reproof. The Bible corrects, rebukes, for correction. After the Bible rebukes, it shows you how to get it right. For instruction in righteousness. The Bible teaches you how to live a godly life. Let me say that again. The Bible teaches us how to live a godly life. When you go to church and you see Benny Hinn taking his suit jacket off and fanning across the audience so they can get healed, he's an idiot. Okay, he's not teaching teaching righteousness, because he's not even reading from the Bible. Cooper and all these weirdos. Is it Cooper? Whatever their names are. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, the Bible is important. So anyway, inspiration means God breathed, okay? Which has the thought of a musician blowing through an instrument and dictating exactly what is to be played. This is what God did through the inspired languages such as Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. What I'm saying is God spoke through those languages, and then King James had a group of men translate the Bible from those languages into English. God breathed into the writers to write God's exact words. I also realize that the scripture is not from man. Go back to 2 Peter and let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Let's read that. Knowing that verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay, what is that talking about? Private interpretation means origin. Origin. Where it originated from. Okay? So, prophecy may be used as a general term of divine revelation. But anyway, private interpretation means origination. Thus, true revelation does not originate by the will of man. It comes from God himself. Please get that. This book is a divine, miraculous book. It comes from God himself through holy men who were godly human instruments of recording God's message. Okay? So also realize that the scripture is not from men. We just read 2 Peter 1:20. And that men did not write the scripture by their own influence. Okay? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That's talking about this Bible didn't come by the will of man. They didn't sit there and said, oh, that sounds good. Write that down. You see, man is too sinful to ever do something like that. Okay? See where it says, keep reading. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's God. Moved by the Holy Ghost describes the process of revelation and inspiration. Moved means to be carried along as a sailboat in the wind. Thus, human beings were so moved by the Holy Spirit that they wrote what God wrote. What they wrote was God's inerrant word. This Bible is from God. Okay? It's so important that we have it. Please don't believe these idiots out there that say, oh, the word of God is not God. What kind of nonsense is that? So the scripture is from God. God is the author of the Bible. Therefore, trust this book over man. There's a lot of people out there, you know, you meet them at work. Oh, I got saved. And you ask them for their testimony. How did you get saved? Well, I was driving on the street and all of a sudden I saw a bright light and I heard my name, Gilbert. Gilbert, you need to go to church. Man, my testimony included and many other great men of God out there that we know. You know what they all have similar? That they asked God himself to save them and take them home to heaven when they died. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's my testimony. That's Brother Tom's testimony. That's Pastor Creed's testimony. And many of the preachers that you hear on this podcast, that's their testimony. That they believed in Jesus Christ and got saved. Any of this other stuff, you know, I don't know about that. Okay, so it was God himself who met Moses and penned his actual words on tablets of stone. The Bible says in Exodus 31:18, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai. Now let's slow down here and look at this. Two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Can you just imagine that with me, please? God handing down scripture that he wrote with his own finger. Every molecule, every mountain, all the stars, the sun that you see, God put that there. And he took the time to pen his magnificent word. Those very words are with us today in the Bible. We can trust the word because God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in whom of eternal life, which God, that can not lie, promised before the world began. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The Bible is a divine, spiritual, miraculous book. What we hold in our hands is the actual letter from God Himself. In closing, understand that even though we live in a world of doubt, we don't know who to trust. People say they see all kinds of stuff, the Loch Ness Monster, the Abominable Snowman, and all this other nonsense. So we can believe God's word over man. Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings. You can read that later. The person you can believe without any issue is God through his word. Let's read verse 19 again, guys, of 2 Peter chapter 1. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So what can we take home from this message? Believe the Bible. You will experience God in your own life. I guarantee that. That's one of the Beatitudes mentioned in, I believe, Matthew 5. But what can we take away from this message? And I'm redundant here because this is important. Believe the Bible. Read it every day. Pray to God that God gives you something. Like Pastor Creed said, if you're not reading the Bible to get something for yourself, you're wasting your time. Get into the book. Get into the Bible. I hope this was a blessing to you. Like I said, I've been hearing some weird stuff all week about this book. People attacking this book. They're putting more stake and claim into some man saying that the Holy Spirit knocked him out. The Holy Spirit froze them up and things like that. Now, look, maybe sometimes that might happen. I'm not denying those things, but a lot of times those people are fruitcakes, and we can doubt those things, yes, but you know what? You don't have to doubt, and that's what Peter is saying is the scripture. So, who can you believe? Well, believe God. He doesn't lie. He wrote this book, and we surely can trust the Bible.